Would you turn with me, please, to the book of Joshua? The book of Joshua, chapter 8 is where we'll be. Joshua chapter 8. Just going to cover a small portion tonight. Give us some time here in just a moment for some recognition toward the end of our service, and then also to give us some time to assemble those stacks of 100 of our flyers. So that'll be good. And also, if you just like to watch people work, you also can come back and just watch us. I'm not going to mention any names, but yes, that's totally an option if you'd like to do that and entertain, maybe perhaps entertaining for you. Joshua chapter 8. You'll remember our last study and message in the book of Joshua was chapter 7 on sin in the camp. And we saw the judgment of God come upon the nation of Israel, and specifically a family and a man by the name of Achan and his family because of his disobedience to the Lord. And we discussed and talked about how that maybe seemed so severe, but it was a lesson. It was a lesson for the nation of Israel, and it was a lesson for the church. And God does that several times throughout Scripture. It's not a practice, because we all understand that like Ananias and Sapphira, who lied to the Holy Ghost, they were judged as an example to the church. It was a wake-up call, if you will, and it was not the norm that God brought that severe judgment, but there were times along to give us that reminder. And that, folks, let's just be honest, God takes the matter of sin very seriously. It's something for us not to treat lightly at all in our lives. And so, again, the example was given forth. The sin was discovered, and it was brought forth. And it was of course brought to the attention of Joshua in a unique manner. First of all, because of their embarrassing defeat at Ai. Now, Ai was not a very big city. They were attacking. Remember, this is the next city after Jericho. Now, Jericho was a different story. That was the very first city they would besiege, and that would be destroyed, and the strategy was rather odd, to say the least. But it was indeed the strategy that God gave them. And one thing we're going to note here is that I find very interesting is that the strategy to take Jericho and the strategy to take Ai are very different. Very different. And we'll look at a couple of those things. But when they first went to Ai, they went and if you will, in the flesh. They didn't have the power of God on them. There was sin in the camp. And also, Ai, if you look at types in the Bible, Ai is a type of the flesh. It is a type of that old nature that every Christian still has. He hasn't gone away. We ought to reckon him dead indeed. Daily, we should by faith, but he's still there. That old nature that wants to do his own thing and that is contrary to the will of God. And what we see here with Ai is Ai was the power and the things of that particular army. It was underestimated. They did not think that it would be a big deal. In fact, the ones that came back to Joshua basically said, "Joshua, you just send, you know, just a couple thousand over there, and we'll have that taken care of. It won't be a problem, Joshua. Just send a few to Ai, and it will not be an issue." Well, it was an issue. There was a problem. And after Joshua sent about 3,000, the Bible says in 7:4 that they fled before the men of Ai. It was embarrassing. But God was teaching them a lesson. And I think it's something that we need to understand tonight, church, together. and whoever might be listening live stream, we are to never underestimate the power of the flesh. That old nature. We just cannot do it. We must be on guard daily. You know, I believe that the flesh, the old nature, is our worst enemy. And, you know, we could look at that several ways theologically, you know, and even practically, why is that? I mean, Satan, he is a powerful being. He's vicious. And he has been given lots of power. Nowhere near the power that our God holds. But he has lots of power. And his demons do as well. His demonic army. We don't know how many spirits there are, evil spirits there are, but we know that there are a lot. Multitudes. Thousands. But here's the thing that's so dangerous about the flesh. Is that the flesh is with us all the time. Satan is not omnipresent. Demons are not omnipresent. They can only be in one place at a time. And they do come and they do wreak havoc. They do cause lots of problems. That's an absolute certainty. But here's the thing that is with Brinson Jennings 24/7. It's that old Adamic nature that does not like to be told what to do. I'm glad at least one thought that was funny. But no, seriously, that's my flesh, that's your flesh. We don't like to be told what to do. That flesh just wants to do what feels good, what feels right, and what's comfortable, and what it wants at the moment, without any limitations, without any restrictions, without any guardrails, guidelines, and that's the way our flesh works. But what God has designed for us that know the Lord, we have the Holy Spirit that is contrary to that flesh every day. They are in conflict one with another. And the Spirit of God against the old nature. And what we have to realize, the reason it's so dangerous, is that when we give in to the flesh, there is no limits on what the flesh can do. It can do some vile things. It can think some vile things. And so one of the things that I believe that we understand even through this account of Joshua, going, they underestimated Ai, which is a picture of the flesh, but God's going to teach them a valuable lesson in this. A couple things. Number one, seek God first and seek Him in everything on what you are to do in every situation. We go to the Lord for wisdom. We go to His Word. And we do not depend on the power of the flesh. Do not get into, you know, where you basically get in cruise mode, if you will, in the Christian life. I guess you could say this. There's no such thing as cruise control in the Christian life. Now, I particularly like cruise control, especially riding on the interstate. That's nice. And you hit the cruise button and you put your seat back and take a nap and it works great. Now, that's with the passenger looking to see if there's any problems. But no, I'm just kidding, folks, all right? But with all honesty, you know, it does. Cruise control can be nice. But if you think about it, never are we to just have that type of mentality of the Christian life. Every day is going to be different. Isn't that interesting? Every day is different. And you might do the same thing. You might go to the same workplace. You might, of course, live in the same house. There's a lot of things that will be the same, but every day is different. And so you have to be on guard because your flesh is always going to want to respond the opposite of the way the Spirit wants to respond. And so therefore we're on guard. And you know that's what Joshua is going to learn. He got discouraged about it. We read about that. He did get down, and God had to get him up, but he was down. He's basically saying that he was starting to echo some of those same spies. Remember, he said, well, you should have just left us in Egypt. Joshua, a man of God, got to the point where he said, well, I wish we just would have been on the other side of Jordan. I just don't know if I'm cut out for this. That was Joshua's spirit, but God met him where he was and basically said, get up. Get up. This is not the way you're going to act. I'm not done with you. And God encouraged him and got him up. And then they realized where the sin was in the camp. And it was dealt with. It was brought forth. It was judged. And now we come to chapter 8. Chapter 8, I guess if I could give this message tonight a title, it would be Try Again. Try Again. I also could title tonight's message, A New Beginning. A New Beginning. You see, now God's going to let them go after it again. This town, this city of Ai, that they were embarrassed before as they sent in several thousand of their warriors. Now God's going to send them in again. And that's where we come to our first verse. It says here, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed." Wow. Don't you just praise God that our God is a God of encouragement? That's His nature. His nature is to encourage us. I'm thankful for that. I need encouragement. Don't you? And He's saying, don't be afraid of what I'm about to do. You're going back to Ai, and yes, you failed. You failed. It was an embarrassment. And there was a failure there on your part and the nation of Israel's part, and of course Achan specifically. There was failure, Joshua. But he's saying now, don't be afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Don't be discouraged. He says, take all the people of war with thee and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. Remember what we talked about this morning, church, about the promises of God? Remember how Abraham took the promise of God? He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. He was not weak in the faith. He was strong in the faith. And he was being strengthened. This is a perfect example to go along with Abraham tonight. This is an opportunity for Joshua to let his faith be developed, to be strengthened after failing miserably and embarrassingly. He's having that opportunity again, church. And God does the same for us. And he's saying, Joshua, I've given you the hand of the king of Ai. I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city. And he's basically saying, this is victory before you even get there, Joshua. You're going to win this. And so what does that mean? That means Joshua's got to take him at his word. Did he lose the first time? And yeah, he did. So let's go after it again. You know, one thing we need to remember, church, and it goes along with what it meant by when Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. We talked about this morning. That word staggered not at the promises of God also carries the understanding that the promises that God was giving, the promise that He would give Abraham salvation, but he would be the father of all nations, also carried this idea that the promises were not too good to be true. They weren't so big, in other words, that, yeah, you know, I know it says, you know, God will meet all my needs. And I know God says He will give me a, a, abundantly above all that I can ask or think. I mean, I know the promise says that, but I mean, I know the Lord says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you find, and knock and the door shall be opened to you. I mean, I know the promise is there, but yeah, I just don't know if that really fits me right now. And, you know, that wasn't Abraham's attitude. He's like, that promise is from God. He meant every word of it. It's going to happen. God's going to do it. And that's where you and I need to look at the promises of God. They're not too good to be true, folks. Never forget, the nature of our God is goodness. Goodness. And what he does is good. It's real good. It's marvelously good. And I know I can trust Him. And we see that they must be taken by faith. Now, the promises of God must be mixed, if you will, with faith. There's a verse that actually says that. Hold your place there in Joshua and look with me in Hebrews, in your New Testament. Just stick something there in that place in Joshua. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Look there with me for a moment. Hebrews chapter 4. All right, verse 1 says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Get it now, this next phrase. Not being mixed with what? In them that heard it. You see, the promises were not received by faith. So therefore, the Word of God says they did not profit from it. They did not profit. And folks, in order for us to profit from the promises of God, we got to take them by faith. Embrace them. God said it. That settles it in my heart. And that's where Joshua is in his life. He's getting ready to go back after Ai. And you can go back there as we look at this account. And so now, He's saying in verse 2 how it's going to take place. He says, I'm going to give you the land, and this is how it's going to work. He says, and thou shalt do to Ai, her king, as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. It says this, only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Now, there are several differences. If you look at a chart, you're comparing Ai with Jericho, there's a couple differences there. One is they went around the city of Jericho together. They all stayed together in one group, you know, walking, marching around by faith. And then that was one. And then another one was they were not to take any of the spoil from Jericho. It was all to be destroyed. It was all to be sanctified and dedicated to God as the first city that they take in the promised land. And that was to be dedicated to the Lord. But this one, God is saying, now listen, I want you to take the spoil here. You take the spoil and the cattle, use it for your needs and your goods. It's for you. If only Achan would have waited. If he would have waited for the next city, Achan probably could have gotten everything he got there in Jericho. You know, it does a lot of good for us to wait on God. God's timing is always best. But nevertheless, they were going to give it to him, and God's going to give it to him, and He says you can take of that spoil, and you're going to enjoy that. But then it goes on to say, lay thee in an ambush for the city behind it. Again, this is going to be differently strategically. God is going to set forth a war strategy of ambushing this city. They're going to use some deception to draw them out of the city. And again, that's very different from Jericho. But notice verse 3. So Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out. Now, notice what the next word says. It doesn't say 3,000 this time. It says 30,000. 30,000. You say, wow, that sounds like a little overkill here. Let me tell you something. Now he's taking this city seriously. Just like you and I should take the flesh seriously every day, that it's capable of being rotten and vile and hurtful. We gotta be on guard, but he's going to send 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. They're going to go in under the skies of darkness. They're going to go in covered by darkness. And he commanded them, saying, behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. Now, I think I'm going to bring it to an end here in just a moment. But I want to tell you something, what God is doing right here. He's helping this army and helping this general to realize, you know what? I got a new beginning for you. It didn't go well the first time, but I'm telling you, it's going to go well this time. If you'll take me at my word and follow what I'm telling you to do, and I'm guaranteeing you a victory. Think upon the fact that God gives us a fresh start every day. The Bible says the mercies of God are new what? Every morning. Mercies for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Mercies. Brand new ones every morning. And God desires us to give us a fresh start, saying maybe it didn't go so well today. Maybe it didn't go so well this week. But I'm telling you right now, get up and I want you to go at it again. Proverbs 24:16 says, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. I take it that's what the wicked will fall and stay down. They will reject an unbelief that I don't want to go forward. Psalm 37, verses 23 through 24 say this, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Wow. That's our Lord. And tonight I just want to encourage you as we step out into a new week, I hope you'll step out with a fresh beginning. Whether just the mind of Christ and renewed, not being discouraged or dismayed, not fearing what tomorrow may bring. God says, fear not, be not dismayed, I'm with you. Don't get in the flesh, don't try to get your hands on it and do it yourself. You rely upon me. Yes, it's good to set forth strategy. Nothing wrong with that, nothing wrong with planning, nothing wrong with having a spiritual strategy to be prayed up and to be mindful and to be under counsel and to do the things of God in the way we're called to do it. But the fact of the matter is, we go in the Spirit. We go in the Spirit. You know, God used something in my life that would have a part in my salvation, bringing me to salvation, and it had to do with a fresh start, a new beginning. When I was in the Coast Guard as a young man that was probably 19, and I got into some big trouble. Big trouble. I had not been in that long, and I had violated. There are certain guidelines or certain rules that the Coast Guard had. I think it was general, universal across all the branches of the military. But if you got in trouble within 6 months in certain
context, you are out with a dishonorable discharge. And I violated those very clearly. And I was probably at the 5-month mark, somewhere around there. And I thought for sure, ladies and gentlemen, I thought for sure I was getting ready to be kicked out with a dishonorable discharge. I was terrified. I was terrified. I had so many thoughts running through my mind. And get it, this is when I was lost. So God was using this to wake me up. But one of the best days that I recall is when I talked to the chief petty officer that was in charge of my case. And he came in and said, "Jennings, the captain wants to give you another chance." Oh, how God used that. Softened me and awakened me, something in me. And that's, it was probably, 6 months later, I would come to Christ. But I just realized that God is all about new beginnings, church. And you don't need to be discouraged tonight upon anything you've done if you've gotten it right with God. And you need to realize that, as Joshua was saying, in order for you to go in and conquer the flesh, that everyday battle that you battle with, that I battle with, we got to go in with dependence upon the Lord, marveling in His forgiveness, marveling in His restoration, marveling in what He's promised to give us. The promises of God are as sure as God Himself. And I like the old saying by Abner Judson, the old missionary to Burma, said the future is as bright as the promises of God. So tonight, let's rejoice in the victory that's ahead. And we're going to look in how God used this attack and this battle and how it ended and how He will use that to help guide Joshua for the rest of the conquest over the land of Canaan. But let's pray together. Father, thank You again for the Word of God tonight. Thank You for, Lord, the dear folks that have come tonight to the service. I pray You'd meet their needs. I pray for those that perhaps will hear this message at another time. I pray You'd use it in their life to help them to sense the power of God and the voice of God and the promises of God, to keep on. Don't stay down. It's not a time to be discouraged. It's a time to be, as the psalmist called You, Lord, You are the lifter of mine head. And I thank You that You are the lifter of mine head, Lord God. And so, God, we commit our hearts to You by faith. We believe You. We rejoice in You. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.